You're watching the Letterman Podcast with Mike Chisholm, endorsed by the Hello Deli.
Yeah!
La, 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 la.
Welcome once again to the Letterman Podcast. My name is Mike Chisholm. I love doing this so much. It's fantastic. Today's episode is going to be fantastic because we are doing a community episode. And I love these because, in my opinion, when Dave and company broke the fourth wall, there were a lot of people sitting there on that exposed side of the fourth wall who got really excited about being part of the community of David Letterman enthusiasts. So today we've got a couple of guys who like me, you know, when the retirement was announced and the last shows were happening, very much wanted to get back and see Dave one last time. These guys had a very short notice, very short window, and got to see something very, very special. Now, the thing I'm going to say about both these guys, about Ken and Scott, both teachers, Ken still doing it, Scott just retired. I have a soft spot for teachers. I always have. We just had Irene Hoffman, who's Rupert G's girlfriend, on. She was a teacher for decades. I just appreciate teachers so, so much for giving back. And I appreciate enthusiasm. And both these guys have enthusiasm as well. So before we get going, remember the Letterman Podcast brought to you. We got one sponsor only. That's Rupert G and the Hello Deli. If you need a shirt, look at that. If you need Late Show with David Letterman merchandise, maybe you need a mug. You broke your mug from a few years ago. The boys, by the way, both today wearing Late Show with David Letterman shirts that they purchased at Rupert G's Hello Deli. Go to hello-deli.com. Rupert packs the orders himself, so that's kind of a neat thing. If you ask him, maybe he'll sign the receipt for you. And if you ask him really nice, he might add onions to your order. But anyway, now that we are doing what we're doing here, I'm going to bring the view over because you're not watching this show for me. You're watching it for the content. We've got some great content today. Ken, Scott, thank you so much for being part of the Letterman Podcast. This is very cool.
Hey, thanks, Mike. We're so excited to be here. We actually didn't really know about this podcast until really like maybe a month ago. And there's all these fan sites on Facebook that we never really took part in until just recently. So that's kind of how we discovered the podcast. So we're super excited to be part of this.
Absolutely. Oh, like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, I know there's all these fan pages and stuff, but I had no idea that this existed. So I'm so stoked to be here.
Well, we get that a lot, boys. Very few people know that we actually do exist, but no, you know what? That's okay. We haven't spent anything when it comes to marketing or any of that stuff yet. The way that we're looking at it is the right people know that we exist and the right people know what we would like to be. You know, there isn't an official Letterman podcast out there. We've had enough folks who are very close to the show and involved with the show that know what we're doing. And we're just letting the audience kind of start to grow organically before we monkey with it artificially and algorithmically and all that kind of crap. I'll tell you this, Ken, you were the one that put the post up about your last seeing of David Letterman that magical night, right? It was Ken that did that?
Yes.
Yeah. I saw that post and when I read it, and you do a very good job with your economy of words. You told a very good story in actually a fairly short amount of time. When I told my story, it was 15,000 words when I told my story of the last time I saw him. I saw him a couple of weeks before you guys did for the last time. It's captured in the book, you know, a good friend of ours, Scott Ryan, The Last Days of Letterman. Yes, there it is right there. Okay. I'm going to ask you right off the cuff. In my opinion, the last 6 weeks of The Late Show is the greatest 6 weeks of any run of any TV show in history. The magic, the excitement, all of that.
Scott
took that and put it into a book. How much fun is it knowing that you were there one of those nights and then reading it in this book? Wasn't that a cool, unique feeling?
Oh yeah, 100%. Knowing that what I'm seeing on those pages is exactly what I experienced. Now, granted, it was from the balcony, and to this day, I'm still mad that I got stuck in the balcony. I wanted to be down on the floor, but being up in the balcony was still super fun. And you know, we got a great night. We had, you know, the former president was there, and Adam Sandler was there. So yeah, it was a really, really cool night to be there.
Absolutely. Well, and I mean, you know, the Adam Sandler song, and we can talk more about this here, but You know, when Johnny retired, he had Bette singing to him. Yeah. And that was a beautiful moment for Johnny, especially the Adam Sandler.
That was perfect.
And maybe the Norm Macdonald last stand-up set, in my opinion, were those were comparable moments. That Adam Sandler song was unbelievable. Now, I want you to tell the story. I want to kind of shut up now. The audience would rather that too. And I just want to hear you guys tell the story, because it's pretty amazing how this happened. So if you guys just want to get going on the story, how did you find out that you were going to go see David Letterman and that one last time? When did you send away for the tickets? When did you find out? And talk about the whirlwind, because you guys, you know, I was going to say you ain't from Kansas, but you kind of are. We're not in Kansas anymore, right? It's not like it was real easy for you to get to New York. There was logistics involved, and this happened short notice. Let's hear the story.
Now I'm going to let Ken start, because he's the one that got the ball rolling. I was just sitting in my classroom.
It's funny that you mentioned, you know, it's funny you mentioned, because, you know, you're the demographic here. I don't have to set anything up with how big a fan we are, because that's the demographic. You don't watch this show unless you're a Dave fan. So we don't have to go back and say how much we've watched him over the years. But, you know, when Dave announced his retirement, and I think Mike helped me with the timeline here, because I think it was in the spring of 2014.
Told the Golden Eagle story, and the Golden Eagle story ended up with the bombshell announcement of Dave retiring.
Right.
Yeah.
So shortly thereafter, you know, I obviously had been watching Dave for a long, 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 long time. And so I was on a website. I was probably watching some clip or something on the Late Show website. And I noticed the ticket link. And so, let's just click the ticket link for fun. You know, yeah, like anything's ever going to happen. Right. Like we're going to ever get to see the Late Show. And to make sure that everyone understands, we have never been to the Late Show ever. And I'd never been to New York City.
I've been once.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is how out of the blue this was going to be. So yeah, I put in for tickets. Ha, ha, ha. Funny. Click. Didn't even think about it ever again.
And it's like almost a year in advance, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So a year later. So this was a Monday, May 11th, 2015. Now, close to the end of the school year. In fact, our graduation ceremony at our high school was that night.
Yeah. Monday night, the 11th.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
So during class, I, you know, my phone goes off and I didn't answer it because I'm in the middle of class. And so in between classes, I pick up the voicemail, and that's when the Late Show called and said, "Hey, we have two tickets for you if you call back, and for tomorrow night's show. And so I'm thinking, this can't be, this is a bunch of crap. There's no way. And so I thought to myself, you know, I was very skeptical at first, but I thought, okay, this is legit. It's a New York area code, blah, blah, blah. And so I race up to his room immediately, like right away.
What grades do you guys teach? What grades were you teaching at the time?
So I teach mostly seniors.
Okay.
And actually, so do I. I teach mostly seniors. I'm in math.
Yep.
And that's in social studies.
Yeah. So I'm on in teaching, it's called a plan period. So I don't have class. I'm just kind of sitting at my desk. I don't know, probably goofing off or something.
Sure. Of course.
And he comes bursting into my room and he goes, "Hey, you're a Dave fan, aren't you?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, of course. We've talked about this a million times." He goes, "Hey, let's go to the show tomorrow." I'm like, "What the hell are you talking about?" He goes,
"And had you guys been watching the run up? Like, you guys knew?"
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, like, oh, yeah. We do.
Okay. Yeah. So we're down to second to last week.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was like six more episodes.
We went to the seventh to last show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he comes there and he goes, "Let's go to Letterman tomorrow." I'm like, you're high. I don't know. Whatever I said. I'm nuts. And he's like,
"So well, I play him the voicemail."
Yeah. And I'm like, "Oh, my God." And I'm like, "Ken, you know, we don't have tickets, like airplane tickets. Like I don't have that many sick days. Like, I don't know what you're even talking about." And he's like, "Well, look, we'll just do one day. We'll just take one sick day." I'm like, "What do you mean one sick day?" He goes, "Well, I kind of think I've got it scouted out. I think we could go in the morning. They tape in late afternoon, and then we get a late night flight back, and we're back in school on Wednesday." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I better call my wife. That was the next. I better call my wife. So I call my wife and she's like, "Well, if Ken can figure it out," because Ken is the logistics guy, "he can figure it out, you have my blessing to basically sell your kidney and pay for this thing." So I step back and I said, "Ken, if you can figure it out, I'm in."
Yeah. So now that we're both on board. I called back the Late Show and just to make sure that this is like a legit thing. And sure enough, yeah, this is legit. And I, in fact, still have the instructions written down from when they told me what to do. They said, check in between 3 and 4 o'clock, 53rd and Broadway. Got to have your ID. And here's the thing. I don't know if you've heard this before, Mike, but they said, don't go to the long line that'll be there at 3 o'clock. Tell them that you're on Kevin's gold list.
Whatever the hell Kevin's gold list is.
I was on Kevin's gold list.
Nice.
Okay. The day that happened, that's me and Dave. They took the picture of our moment. I was on Kevin's gold list that day. That's how I got in.
Yeah, so I guess that's good, right?
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Kevin's gold list is a very good thing. We can go deep on that. But anyway, keep going.
So then they said taping will be at 5 o'clock, and then the show should finish by 6:30. So operating with those assumptions.
One-day trip.
Yeah, so I'm operating with those assumptions. So I start.
You have no idea who's on the show at this point, right?
I think we did.
Yeah, might have. And if not, we knew by evening because it would have been on that show. They said, oh, tomorrow on the show. But
yeah, I mean, we figured it out before that day was over.
Obviously, he'd been having really good guests those last 2 weeks. So we knew we were going to see somebody good.
Yep. So
but the president of the United States or the former president of the United States, that's a little bit.
That's a big part of our story.
Being a huge part of the story. So the key point there is that they were supposed to tape at 5 and end at 6:30. So operating with those assumptions, I started looking for flights. So we got the first flight out like at 5 in the morning. We were going to fly to Chicago, then be at the Ed Sullivan Theater, hopefully by about 10:30, 11. That was the idea.
And Lots of time.
But on the back end, so the very last flight out was, and we're going to fly into LaGuardia. Yep. And so the last flight out, we had to go to Newark, though. There was no later flights.
Yeah, the latest flight we could get back to Kansas City.
Was 9 p.m. out of Newark.
Right.
And by the way, Newark, for those who don't necessarily know the New York area, flying in and flying out, that's, you think, oh, New Jersey, a completely different state. Newark actually just, it's a tunnel ride away. It's not that far away from downtown Manhattan.
And our flight was 9 o'clock. Wasn't it 9 o'clock.
So 6:30. So in our minds,
2:30, we got time.
So we booked the flights and went ahead and paid way too much money for a next day tickets. But
I'm on dialysis now because I only have one kidney to pay for that flight. Sorry.
No, but you also showed Scott that you married well because the wife giving the thumbs up for that. There, right there, is the litmus test of a marriage. Right there, when something like that happens, you know, 100%.
Susan is a good woman.
Yes, she is.
There you go.
And I had just gotten divorced at the time, so I was good. So anyway, So then we booked the flights and we figure everything's good. We got it all timed out. We actually looked up train schedules. So we knew exactly when the subway was supposed to, you know, we were going to do public transportation. It was all figured out.
Perfect.
Yep.
Then we go to graduation. At the end of graduation, I said, hey, I'll see you in the morning. We're good to go.
Yeah. And we kind of kept this on the down low with all the other faculty because we had to call in sick the next day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
the statute of limitations has long since passed. We're good now.
Yes. Well, he's retired. Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
F him, I don't care.
Yeah.
The fury is about to come down on you tomorrow, Ken.
That's exactly. True. That's 100%. True. Once the people at HR see this YouTube show, I could get nailed tomorrow. I don't know. Yeah.
So. Don't worry. Nobody sees the show. We're fine. Yeah.
So anyway, so yes. So we had to wake up the next morning after graduation and we met at a Dick's Sporting Goods up near the airport. He lives about 40 minutes away from the airport.
Yeah.
I live like maybe 10 minutes from the airport.
Yeah.
So we met at a Dick's Sporting Goods close by.
I think he dropped my car off and then got in his, took it to the airport.
And so then we parked, got to the gate and then got on a 6 a.m. flight to Chicago. We were in Chicago by 7 a.m. And then
I don't know what it was called back then, but it was an app that I had for all my kids.
Yeah.
And so at about 7 o'clock when I land in Chicago, I sent in the message, guys, have a great day at school today. Your teacher just landed in Chicago. See ya. So here's a couple of pictures.
And actually, as we tell the story, we're losing the visual with you, Mike, because of the
That's okay.
taking up our screen, but you can see us. There's us getting on the plane. That's us in Chicago at O'Hare.
Yep.
And then when we got to New York at LaGuardia, we had to figure out the whole public transportation system. This probably looks familiar to a lot of New Yorkers. so we had to figure out how that all worked.
So we got on a bus first.
Yep.
And so for context, our plan is going perfect.
Yes. Yep.
All the planes are on time, the trains, and everything's going just perfect. It's just
New York
going
public
better.
Transportation hasn't let you down. You're good.
No, everything's great.
And we packed nothing.
It's great. So I'm getting ready to get on the plane, and all I've got is a wallet and a phone. And I'm like, we're going to get thrown into a room. They're going to think we're terrorists because we have no luggage, no bags. Yeah. We literally had a wallet and a phone.
I actually did bring a string bag with me just in case we had something to bring back.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, we had nothing.
Nothing.
No luggage at all. So get on the bus, get on the train, and then, you know, we land, like I said, at LaGuardia, and probably by about 11 o'clock, we pop up out of the subway station. I don't even know what it was. And then, you know, we're in heaven.
And I walked by the studio before. I had not been to it or been to a show, but I'd seen it. But yeah, we just came right out of the subway. It's like probably 10:30 or 11 at this point. Take our picture. We're like, oh my God, this is really happening. We're going to be here tonight. This is awesome. Super stoked. And we've got 5 or 6 hours to kill.
Yeah. And so now they said check in 3 to 4 o'clock. So now it's about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the back of my mind, though, I'm still skeptical. I'm sitting there going, we're going to get scammed. This is a scam. Somehow we're going to show up and try and claim the tickets. And they'll be like, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
And just in the back of my mind, there's always that. So I've got that in the back of my mind. Just never know. So
he's kind of a worrywart. We love him, but he does worry.
But anyway, to kill the time, we just went around Times Square.
Around.
Over to 30 Rock for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Over there and just kind of walked around. I had lunch and
I don't even remember the place, but it was just
it was
right random bar and grill right there in Times Square.
Yeah. And then Scott, because you know, he's not like you're an attention whore or anything.
Yeah,
like
not at all.
CNN just happened to be in Times Square.
So let's put this in context. So 4 months earlier, the Deflate Gate with Tom Brady had blown up.
Yes.
And there have been like, I don't know, some NFL investigation or something. I don't know. Anyway, so on this date, that Tuesday, the 12th, whoever did the report, it was finally released of what had happened. And so CNN was just walking around asking tourists and, you know, God forbid, I don't look like a tourist. Yeah. So I look like a total New Yorker in my University t-shirt and KU hat. I don't scream tourist or anything. Pickpocketers are circling me during this. But anyway, so they come up to me and they're like, hey, can I start to talk about Tom Brady? And I'm like, sure. And they're like, so what do you think because of this Deflategate thing? And I go, well, he sucks because I'm a Chiefs fan and I hate the Patriots. And needless to say, I don't think I actually got on CNN after saying that, but it's pretty funny in the moment. So, yeah, so we go to New York and I get interviewed by CNN. What are you going to do?
And by the way, tell everyone how much of a Kansas fan you are.
Oh, yeah. Huge KU fan. I love my Jayhawks. So, yeah. So whenever I travel, you know, read the travel books, dress normal. Don't dress like, oh, no, I'm always in KU stuff everywhere. You scream Rock Chalk at me all the time. And I scream Jayhawks back.
Here's the fun.
I have a theory that in Times Square at any given time, 0.67% of the people in Times Square are actual New Yorkers. I believe
100%.
I believe the other ones are all. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
It's
you're probably right.
Oh, that's so fun. So the energy and the adrenaline pumping all
flowing.
Day.
Oh, it's flowing.
Yeah.
And Ken, you'd never seen New York before. So
the
way I describe New York to people, every time we go there, it's like New York is alive. The city is alive. It has a pulse. You can feel the energy there. How overwhelmed were you just with awe and wonder when you went going there for the first time?
Yeah. I mean, obviously you've seen all this stuff on TV forever and ever and ever, and to actually see it in person in real life. It's just, wow. You know, to see Times Square, to see the ball was up there.
Yeah.
From New Year's Eve and to see all the, you know, all the buildings and obviously to see the Ed Sullivan Theater, to see NBC, to see 30 Rock, to see Rockefeller Center. Yeah. Amazing stuff.
Iconic. So, at what point do you go to Rupert's for dinner? Where'd you
Speaking of iconic, that's the next thing. So,
see, it's almost like we've done this before.
That's right. Not that this was rehearsed at all, but yeah, there we are.
So there he is.
Yeah. So we get in there and I'm like, let's ask him to take a picture. And Ken's like, no, he's not going. I'm like, we're only here once. Let's do it. So I'm like, Rupert, can we have a photo? And you can tell he's overjoyed to take this photo with these two dorky tourists from Kansas City. But we did take it. I said, hey, I'll buy some shirts.
Right. It helped. It helped to say that we bought some merch. So,
So it was great.
So finally, we did all of our sightseeing, walking around. It was time to go get the tickets.
Yeah.
And so finally, we went up to the.
Ken is still sweating bullets at this point.
Okay. This Kevin's Gold List thing, is it real or is it not?
It sounds totally made up, but boom, got the tickets.
Yep, we're good to go. May 12th.
Yep, so we're ready to go. And then
I think we killed like another hour maybe. And then ultimately we got in line.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When we got the tickets, here's the news drop.
I forgot about this.
So the thing is, because of Bill Clinton's schedule, so the taping was supposed to be at 5, right?
Yes. Okay.
So because of Bill Clinton's schedule, he was running late and the Secret Service was taking longer to scour the Ed Sullivan Theater than normal. So we were told when we picked up the tickets, the taping would be at 6.
Oh, boy.
Instead of 5.
Oh, so boy. Now we're thinking, OK, if we get out at 7:30, we got 90 minutes to get to LaGuardia.
And it's about an hour on the train to get to Newark.
Yeah, right. Newark. Because we were really going to do the subway and all that. And then we're like, OK, well, we're just going to have to keep adding to our, total on this trip. We're like, we're going to have to take a cab because, there's no Uber or anything. But we're thinking, okay, 7:30, we're still probably going to be okay and it'll be fine.
So although we were thinking about, plan Bs in case we miss the flight and we have to skip another day of school.
Yeah.
So that was also in our minds too. But yeah, so that the Bill Clinton piece, that's the intricate part of the story that ended up turning out all right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, obviously, because we're here to talk about it today.
That's right.
Which is fantastic. Now, when you heard, so maybe you knew Clinton was on before or not. Was there any, as far as you could see, was there any extra security? Like, did you get a pat down? Were there metal detectors when you went in? Was there anything like that?
Yeah, there were
for that night's performance.
Yeah. I I'd never been to the show, so I didn't know if you had to go through those anyway, but we did have to go. And the line, it was really slow. It wasn't like just here's your ticket, go in. It was very, very slow getting in.
So yeah, this was the line to get in.
How much do we miss that marquee? I miss that marquee like you wouldn't
believe. Yes, 100%.
Oh.
Metal detectors are not typical?
Not in the two times that I went. I believe there were extra
metal detectors,
things that they did for whenever a high ranking official would be there. Yeah. So, for normally, the way that I understand it, we had David Kay on here, last week, and I've talked a lot with him, in the background as well. Normally they kind of bring people in pods. The Gold List comes in first and they do that, for lack of a better term, that indoctrination of the audience, telling you that you gotta, laugh lots, be ready to laugh and be enthusiastic and all that stuff. Don't do this, do that. Don't shout out. Don't do that. I'm curious, is that what happened to you guys as well? Or was it different because of the Secret Service? Did they file you in right to the theater?
No, they put us in groupings and so forth. Okay. We had no idea.
That's normal. That part's normal.
Go here. We had no idea. Yeah, we just followed directions.
Yeah, so like when we got in, they directed us, if I recall, it was just upstairs to the, we ended up in the balcony. But I remember, and I was like, wait a minute, where are we going? And then we got up there and I kind of groaned. And Ken's like, we're at the David Letterman show, lighten up. And I'm like, I know, but I wanted to be down low. So I think we're in the last row.
We are in the last row.
In the balcony. Oh. Back.
So this picture right here, obviously, I don't know if you can see it very well. But
we can.
Shot of the show from that night. And we are literally in the very top right. And so you can kind of see us.
But we, of course, zoomed in for you.
So there's us. Yeah.
You can even see the hat in my hand.
Yeah. So, there's Scott and myself right there. And that's our heads right there. So
you guys look like an 8-bit Nintendo Entertainment System game 100%. Character right there. That's fantastic.
But they herded us in. We went up. We were in the very last row on the top, and then Alan Coulter did the pre-show, and we watched the video as you mentioned on how to behave as an audience.
Yep.
And then Dave did his Q&A, out there and answer questions a little bit. So
I don't remember any of the questions.
I don't either.
But he came out and did a few. Yeah.
And so then the show started. You know, what surprised me was how like literally Dave put the microphone down after answering his last question and he walked off the stage, and literally it couldn't have been 0.2 seconds after Dave disappears. They start the show, like the music starts, like as if you're using, like you're used to watching it on TV.
Yeah.
Like I thought there'd be like a little 5-minute delay or something, or just getting things ready. Like they started it. I don't know if that's your experience, Mike.
Well, yeah. Like that surprised me. I don't know. You guys don't know my story yet. Maybe you'll hear it, but so that's Dave and I, that's Dave right there. And he's talking to Paul right there and he's making fun of me right there.
And that's awesome.
And there's a picture of the moment, one of the greatest moments of my life. And that's when Dave is actually making fun of me. And so I was the last question that day. And so the way that our exchange ended, and then when he came out, he referenced the conversation and it cut to us first shot in the audience, which is, you know, a Letterman fan's dream is to be, you know, one of those quick cuts. Right.
Right.
But the way that our exchange ended was, you know, there's a whole thing. I was a bit of a brat to him. And he said, he was talking about the jacket I was wearing. And so he goes, oh, that's a salmon jacket. I said, yeah, salmon. He goes, oh, who told you that? Who picked that jacket up for you? I said, this is my wife, dear. He goes, that's your wife? I said, yeah, this is my wife, Candace. He goes, nice to meet you, Janice. Okay, Paul, let's go. And he just, and that was it. Just like what you guys said.
That's awesome.
Q&A's over. The show starts. Boom. Yeah. Just like that. And I think he rides that energy. I think that there's a, think there's an actual,
he gets amped up.
Yes. And I think it's scientific. I think he can repeat that process. He gets the energy right to that point. The show starts and then he bolts out and
right.
Starts
and away we go.
So, yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that was your experience as well.
Absolutely. One of the best nights of my life was that night. You know, and talked about in Scott's book and all of these awesome things. That's why I love talking to people who have been there in the last 6 weeks, because in my experience, it was just a very special, unique thing. Like it really, really was.
I feel like being in that, you know, those last few weeks, like you just knew this was something special. Like, you know, granted, I would have loved to have gone any time in his whole career.
Sure.
But you just kind of knew this was a special time. Like you were kind of part of history being here these last few days, those last couple weeks, whatever, that it was something special that, I mean, obviously there's a book about it now, but you just kind of knew in the moment that people were going to talk about those last couple weeks for a long time.
Yeah,
for sure. Part of the reason that we started the show, like, I don't know if you guys remember when Johnny Carson retired, there was a very similar sentiment, but there wasn't YouTube. There wasn't the internet. There wasn't these things out there. I look at like my daughter-in-law, for example, and I've said this on the show many times, but she doesn't know who Johnny Carson was. Johnny Carson was the biggest star in the world. And she doesn't know who he was. You know, she's in her 20s now. She doesn't know. The reason that we started this show was to transfer the knowledge of, in our opinion, the greatest body of broadcasting work in history. And that's of this show, the crescendo of which was that last 6 weeks. And it was special. There will never be something like that ever again. It's too fragmented now. You know, there's too many channels.
Put in perspective about Carson, I was in Boston, ironically, the night that Bette Midler sang to him that, you know, that, and I was at a bar. They put, you know, wasn't like today where there's like 5,000 TVs, but they had like, you know, a few TVs and all of them were on Carson that night. Cause everybody knew this was a big, big deal. And if you didn't watch it, you weren't going to get to see it because, you know, there was no YouTube or anything like that.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, you know, I'm grateful now that, that Walter and company on behalf of Worldwide Pants has the YouTube channel going and it's that's so great. That there, some of these moments are being cherry picked and brought on there. Obviously, Don Giller, who is a good friend of ours here at the Letterman podcast, you know, he's done such a good job of compiling things and putting it out there. Thank goodness.
That guy is amazing.
Oh, he absolutely is. He absolutely is. The episode that's going up, the next episode is with Gabe Abelson, who was Dave's head monologue writer for 4 years. Don was actually on the show real time with us, sitting there feeding me things. So every time when Gabe would say something, he'd throw fun facts as to when the joke was told or little things like
awesome.
That. So we're really trying to build something here where we as a community can all just really continue that energy that you're talking about here, this is exactly the reason why we do this show, is your guys' story. That is just, I love it so much. Any memories from the show itself? Were there, man, I know for us, when we were in the hotel room watching, you guys were on a plane. Were there any cuts? Was it a little bit jarring because of the president and then the Secret Service left and said, were there delays or was it still pretty tight as a drum?
It was pretty tight once it got started, but you know, it was going to start, you know, we already had it delayed an hour. Yep. And I think it was like 6:20 or so before it actually started. I mean, they filming it pretty much in real time.
Yep.
But I mean, I just remember staring at my watch going, Ken, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. But once it got going, you know, it was pretty quick. I'll be honest, I hope this doesn't upset any of your viewers. You know, I'm a huge Clinton fan, or at least I was a few years ago before all the stuff came out. But I love him. But, you know, he was honestly pretty dry that night. It was kind of a heavy topic. He talked about, you know, causes he was doing. I mean, it's cool to see him, but I was like, come on, let's be funny. And then, of course, Sandler comes out. And I think maybe Clinton had run long, so they kind of had to hurry Sandler a little bit along.
Yeah, mentioned in the book, they talk about how Sandler essentially got 8 minutes. That's all he got.
Yeah, he came out.
Panel and the song. Like
A couple minutes interview, and then shortly thereafter went right to the song. So
I'll never
forget. The song
forget.
Obviously is the iconic moment of that episode.
Right.
Well, it was, and I'll never forget the part where, you know, he and the two of them going back and forth. And I remember watching when Sandler was just a punk kid on SNL that annoyed people. But, you know, I was a kid at the time too. So I loved Adam Sandler. I remember how like people that were older in my life just thought, what the heck is going on with Saturday Night Live now when he showed up? But he always had a link with Dave and would show up on late night and he did stand up and all of that stuff. And I remember him saying, looking at Dave and just looking and going, I don't want to leave the chair. I get emotional about it because he was emotional. And clearly the song was very emotional, right?
Well, and I remember in the interview, they joked a little bit. And then he got as serious as Sandler's going to get. But he mentioned that back in those days when he was starting out on SNL with him and Farley and Chris Rock and all those guys. And they thought, and I think something like the quote, it's like, we're the coolest kids in the building. And then they would go to the other side and see Letterman and they would be like, yeah, we're not.
Yep.
We're absolutely not. He is the king. And they, you know, I think, and not that night, but in other interviews, I've seen him talk about, you know, they would literally, you know, between rehearsals and stuff, they would go watch and stuff because they idolized him so much of what he would did and what he had brought and get. And I think even Adam said it, like they don't have a career probably without his, you know, his shenanigans or whatever you want to call it. Cause it opened the door for those kinds of comedians and things like that.
Absolutely. And then of course, you know, sings the song. I'll tell you this straight up. This is the first time I think I've mentioned it. Maybe with the record button on, there are some people in the background who know that this is one of our aspirations. One of our aspirations is to actually have Adam Sandler on this show and to have him sing that song. I don't know if he's performed it since. I watched his Netflix special and I would watch him sing these songs and he sang the Chris Farley tribute song on that special and all that.
I kind of wonder, it would be a great question to ask him
if
Letterman's song inspired, not maybe directly, but indirectly gave him the license to do the Farley song, which also is funny, just like Letterman's is, but you also can feel the emotion in both of them.
It's one of the few ways that you can actually allow sentimentality to creep in. Norm Macdonald did it too, where you can actually get Dave to waver and allow a little bit of sentimentality. You gotta mix it with humor.
Yeah.
And I mean, that song was... you know, the part where he goes to it, and I get emotional about it. Like I really do.
Yeah.
The part where, you know, they're where he's driving away in his Ferrari full of office supplies. And he wants the cops to pull him over and bring him back for another 30 years. And then you guys in that audience popped. Like the audience just popped. Exploded.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're the king of comedy, our best friend on TV. And then you popped again, like in the middle of the song, like massive spontaneous applause. The energy in that moment must have been just so many different feelings at the same time.
It was palpable. no doubt. And to say that we are actually there present for that and be only one of however many, however many the studio fits, to say that we were actually there for that, that's real special.
It really is. And I know when I have these types of memories inside of me and I'm able to connect, like, you know, the phrase, a fisherman can always recognize another fisherman. You know, you guys saying that, I'm excited that you had that moment because I understand how I would have felt if I had that moment and you guys were there. And when you meet somebody who was really grateful for it, not somebody who's checking their phone or whatever, but somebody who's like, that was an iconic moment in my mind in life. And part of this beautiful crescendo that we saw.
Yeah. Because Dave comes over to him and, you know, Dave just kind of wants to shake hands and Farley or Sandler's like, hell no, we're not doing that. I mean, you could see, he pulled him in and hugged him and told him he loved him. And then, you know, they said a couple more words and then that was it. And then, Dave said that, thanks, you know, that's the end of the show. So
so that happens. It's the end of the show. Yep. Did you have your stuff from Rupert's or was he in the back and you had to pick it up from him at that point? Because he would do that for people. Did you? I don't know if you knew that.
I think we had it in your bag.
You had your stuff with you? Okay.
By the way, I don't know if you saw it earlier. We actually have our stuff on right now.
Yeah, we got
it.
There it is.
I don't know if they still sell this shirt, but this is the shirt they were selling when we were there.
He's got gray ones and he's got blue ones.
And we got our mugs too.
So
you know, and just a testament to Dave, the fact that Dave has given Rupert the license to continue to sell late merchandise. Like, just so you know, earlier today I had a podcast with Rupert as well, and so that's going to be coming out just on the heels of this episode as well. So, and he's the only sponsor of the Letterman podcast. So we just appreciate that to this day. We just appreciate that. If you still want to buy those shirts, everybody go to hello-daily.com. I mean, there they are. Oh, beautiful.
The show ends.
Yeah.
And I never talked this part of the story, but I had a former student who was living in New York, trying to make it on Broadway. And I emailed her the night before and said, hey, we're going to be here. You know, love to see you before. And she had stuff going on all through the day. Yep. So she was going to meet us after the show. So I don't know how long she stood out there, but we came out. We're panicked because we got to get. And she's there, love her to death. And she's obviously been waiting a while. So I feel obligated to talk to her for a little bit. And Ken is like, we gotta
let's go.
And so we have a few moments. We take a quick picture with her. And then I'm like, all right, we gotta go. We're already running late. And she gives me a hug. And so we're like, well, we can't take the subway anymore. We gotta take a cab. So we jump in the cab. Yep. And then this happens.
So then we're in the cab and photo behind us. So when we get in the cab, it takes us down 53rd Street, I think there. And then there's this Escalade behind us. And then, you know, that actually has Sandler in it.
Yeah. If you can.
So here, if we get a little closer view here, right behind, he's getting all the autographs and so forth. And he's right behind us in the cab.
We're than we were in the show.
So yeah, we do get out of there, and the end of the evening is we hopped a cab. I think we spent like $100.
Oh yeah, the cab ride was just stupid.
Yeah. And yeah, we did go through the tunnel and the whole thing. Got to Newark, and I think we got there about 8:30 for our 9 o'clock.
Oh yeah, flight. It was very close.
Yeah. So by the time we got there, we were
fake sleep picture, of course. Yeah. You know, whatever. and then we got on our plane and went home. So granted, you know, New York is on East Coast time and we're Central time. So we got back to Kansas City. What was it? 10 o'clock here, maybe our time.
Oh, what a cool PS. I didn't realize that.
So I zoomed home. It was easier for Ken because he was 10 minutes away. But I am not exaggerating. I pull in my garage, close the garage, go upstairs. My wife's in bed. She has, of course, Letterman on. Well, it hasn't started. I walk in as the music begins.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I was just there like 3 hours ago.
Oh, I got
and
goosebumps.
Now I'm watching this on my television. So I crawl into bed and I watch the episode that I literally just watched live, you know, 3 or 4 hours earlier. I mean, just obviously I know that happens all the time, but you know, in my little teacher poor world, that just doesn't make sense to me. And how's this possible? And it was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so we agree. We both wear our shirts the next day. We're like, screw it. I guess they're going to fire us. We had the greatest night of our life. So
absolutely.
We put on our shirts the next day and start telling the story of our adventure. And, you know, the school just went crazy with it. They just thought it was the funniest. And teachers that I don't really like or really know were coming down to hear the story. And Oh yeah. Super fun. Yeah.
I definitely, Ken, did you have that as well? Were you the center of attention with people as well? And
oh yeah. I mean, like, you know, we teach in the same building. And yep. So we were getting it from all sides, both of us. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I had the same experience when I got back from our trip. People all around me, you know, people had seen the show, they knew that we were going to be there. And so, and then we ended up being on the show too. So that there was that feeling of people coming around and rushing over to talk to you about it again, that energy, during that time. We're in 2023 at the time of this broadcast, 2015 in May of 2015, April, May of 2015, it was the love of David Letterman was just, like you said, palpable. It was there. It was, it could be felt and people were all marking it. I love this. Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing is, Mike, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, please.
It's just still to this day, I don't believe that happened, you know, and because to not only experience Dave, because we have, you know, spent 30 years watching Dave, you know, ever since we were teenagers and, you know, put this man on a pedestal for all the things that he's done and so forth, to actually be not only part of the show and watch the show, that's great, but to be part of that last 6 weeks. Yeah. In fact, the second to last week, in fact, the seventh to last show ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be able to say that we've been a part of that. Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
In fact, I remember, obviously he does lots of bits, but one of the bits he did that night, he brought out, him as an intern or somebody. And the intern said, "Hey, I'm going to need off next Thursday. I'm going to need to leave early next Thursday." He's like, "Well, you can leave whenever you want, because Wednesday's the last show, and that's going to be it." He's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "No, everybody knows. Nobody's going to." And it was this whole bit. And I'm like, "Wow, I'm just thinking about that." I was like, obviously it was a bit, but we were there for the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's just crazy.
I had a moment like that. I'm a big Joe Grossman fan. We had Joe on the show here, and I just love that I can go back and forth with Joe anytime. And my night, Joe Grossman had come on. You know, he did a walkout and did his thing, and I was just so present in that moment, even though I just talked to Dave or whatever. The moment Joe came out, I'm like, oh, I get to see Joe Grossman come out on stage, because as I'd seen him come out so many times before and do that little deadpan thing that he does, and have Dave send him off the wrong way, like, just I yeah, I'm so grateful. And I'm a huge fan of gratefulness. Clearly both of you are grateful. As we wrap this thing up, this is perfect timing. I knew it would be. This is perfect timing. What else we got?
He's got like a with all the pictures and stuff.
And this hangs in my office, and that there's the ticket right there.
Yep.
There's the,
so this is mine. I have the Rolling Stone issue, and then let me get it so you can see it.
The ticket
and
in the corner.
There, of course, is the ticket.
Yeah.
So my basement is like a total dude's man cave. There's KU stuff, Chief stuff, and then just the one random thing is this, because I cherish this so much.
Boys, you guys are brothers from another mother. I just appreciate this.
That's true.
For each other, but also for me, guys, this guy in Western Canada too. It's so great when we can all be linked together with the enthusiasm for something that we all appreciate so, so much and find so universal. And Dave is universal. I'm gonna close the episode the way I do with when I have a lot of his writers and producers on the show here. I'm gonna do the same thing with you guys. I assume you've kept up with Dave as he's, you know, my next guest and all that stuff, right?
Right.
He called today. I'm gonna be on that show. I'm gonna be on the Netflix. No, I'm just kidding.
Perfect. That's great. Oh, you heard it here first, folks.
If he ever sees this,
he'll invite us.
Yeah, if he ever sees this episode, we're on.
Oh, absolutely. And I assure you, he'll never ever see this. But if there's one or two people that you would love to see Dave interview on My Next Guest, off the top of your head, who would you like to see him talk to?
It's a good one.
That is a good question.
What do you think?
You know, the thing is that there's a lot of people from the old show, like from the late night show, that you know, they kind of faded out. You know, I mean, like, it's funny because, you know, we talked about Jerry Lawler.
From
the
Memphis.
The whole Andy Kaufman thing.
Yeah.
Because he just went to Memphis.
That picture's on it is a full-size wall at his bar in Memphis. Yeah.
I talked to Jerry a couple of months ago. I'm still going back and forth with him. We're going to try and have him on the show.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, just stories from the
Chris Elliott from
the original shows and so forth. Even Terry Garr. I don't know whatever happened to Terry Garr.
You know? There you go. Yeah. There's a lot of folks, the sentiments that you have talked about here are actually very similar to some of our previous guests, as you guys do go and catch up and watch the show. Cause of course you're going to catch up and subscribe.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Of course you're going to. You'll hear some of the folks who have been on the show here that worked with Dave for years have said actually very similar names. I believe Gerard Mulligan actually might have even said Chris Elliott, or someone said Meryl Marco, and people have said that they want to see. I was texting one of Dave's people the other day, and I said, you know what? There's a real hunger for a reunion show of some sort.
Oh yeah.
Maybe if there's something at Radio City for one night only, something would be wall to wall. You know,
and have Chris Elliott come out of the floor in this audience. That'd be fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, we need a little monkey cam.
Yeah.
We need a little sky cam. Yep. We need all those, you know, little Velcro action,
100%.
You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Could not agree with you guys more. As we kind of bring it to the close, is there anything else that you wanted to get out and express in this episode of the Letterman Podcast before we close the doors?
Well, the only thing I wanted to say, like two things, actually. One,
sure.
Going back to the show itself that we attended, the other thing that surprised me or that I was really enchanted by really was the band. I mean, like Paul and the orchestra, it was so loud.
It was a rock concert.
The thing I remember about the show itself was the music was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just as Dave would say, blow the roof off the dump kind of place. And it was so loud. Like, I don't know if we could even talk during the commercial.
Oh yeah.
It was so loud in there, and I loved it. It was fantastic. So I think, you know, Paul and the band and the orchestra obviously brought a totally incredible dimension
show. And that just brings more energy to it, obviously.
Yeah. Yep.
And so that was one thing. And then what were you gonna say?
You said you had two things.
I did, and I'm drawing a blank now on the second one, unfortunately. So.
No, I guess kind of put it all together. Like, people ask me all the time, you're like, do you ever regret it? You know, and especially like we first got back. Cause I mean, on teacher salaries, it cost us a fortune, you know,
sure
we're not going to,
yep.
You know, and I said, from the second we got back, cause when I first did it, like we were booking the travel and stuff, I was like, this is crazy. Like, what am I doing? But once we got going and it started, and ever since, not once have I ever regretted pulling the trigger on that. Not, you know, obviously the Letterman part of it was amazing, but you know, to spend a day with a buddy doing something completely spontaneous.
Right.
And I know Ken isn't, we're not real spontaneous people. We're both super planners. To do something like that, it's just something we'll just cherish for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I am, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and every year,
on
the anniversary,
May 12th,
every year we would wear the shirts to school, and people would ask about it, and tell the story.
Yeah, we post every year,
post online, both of us, about the story every year, and it's hard to believe it's almost 8 years now.
It's been eight years this May.
Yeah,
what you just said, this is the exact reason why we do this show. There is a hunger, there's a groundswell. When you look at the numbers on Dave's, you know, again, fairly new YouTube channel, hasn't even been around for a year yet at the time of this recording. You know, there's a lot of sentimentality, and it's cool, you know, having the distance from when he retired, but then you see some of the biggest stars on the planet right now. You know, one of my next guest interviews he did was Lizzo. Very first television appearance was on his show, you know, and it's really cool to see that. But at the end of the day, I just appreciate so much that I'm not alone in this affection. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, I thought, okay, well, let's build a community where people can tell their stories and a hub where people can talk about this stuff and relive these things, because I'm the same way. My night was April 20th. This show, the very first episode of this show was uploaded on April 20th for the same reason.
Wow, that's awesome.
That is cool.
You know, and so I can 100% identify with what you guys are talking about. Ken and Scott, as far as I'm concerned, you guys are members of the Letterman podcast community and the and what we want to build here. Thank you so much for this here. I can't wait till our paths cross again. Don't be strangers. And I just appreciate you guys so, so much. Thank you very much for being on the Letterman podcast today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike, for inviting us. It was awesome.
Yep.
Oh, I'm so glad. Okay. I'm just going to do a quick outro and then we'll say our goodbye privately. Okay.
Okay.
All right. That is it right there. There's Ken and Scott, the last shot. This is why we do the show right here. This is exactly why the Letterman podcast exists. Of course, we love talking to the members. When I say Dave and company, we love talking to the members of the company. Of course we do. And we've got lots of great guests coming up. I just traded another email with Pat Farmer today. He's going to be on the show soon. Gabe Abelson will be out by the time this show is out. Rupert's episode is coming out soon. Jeff Martin, who was a writer on Late Night for years, went over to The Simpsons for a long time. Ferguson, McDonald, I mean, he's got a crazy awesome plethora of experiences that most of us who enjoy Dave enjoy all the things that Jeff Martin's done. He's coming on. And a couple other surprises that I'm not ready to talk about yet. But at the end of the day, it's not just about Dave and company. It's also about the community. And we've got a group on Facebook that's growing right now. Please like, share, subscribe here on the YouTube. The subscriptions mean a big deal. So if you wouldn't mind subscribing, we'd appreciate that. And that's why we do this show. So that's another episode of the Letterman podcast with Mike Chisholm. Coincidentally, I am Mike Chisholm. Thank you and good night.
Overcoat and underpants.